it's time for What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
Roll out the relentless positivity. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you. Jacinda, how are you in this weird limbo at the moment?
Yeah, I'm not doing too badly. And it is a bit of a limbo period for everyone, though, but that's MMP and that's okay.
There's a question that I know you probably can't be asked answering, but I think the whole museum wants to know, how's that painted fence coming along?
It needs one more coat.
It needs another coat, yeah. This is the thing. I mean, when are you going to... I guess it's not a time.
Delegate.
I get it. Hey, speaking of delegation, tell us about Labour this time round. No matter what happens in the coalition talks, or when the Winston awakens from the dormant slumber that he lies in at the moment, whatever he's doing there, just thinking slowly about stuff that he already has been thinking about for months and months and months. What's the Labour that like this Labour time this time round? What's Labour like? What's Labour like now? Is it a new Labour?
Well, I since I spoke to you last, we had there's a bit of an induction that happened for the new MPs, and we've got...
Sort of going over all the safety rules for...
Yeah. Which is run by Parliamentary Services, they're the ones that keep Parliament ticking over. And we've got 13 extra seats, but actually 17 new MPs.
17?
So, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, pretty incredible.
Lot of noobs, yeah. Lot of noobs. Hey.
Which is great, and they're all... Well, and I was looking the other day at the diversity of their backgrounds, and incredible. You know, we've got principals, we've got ex-local councillors, we've got lawyers, we've got social worker, we've got someone who worked in regional development. We've got a whole range of people, and they're really, yeah, they're all fantastic. I've known all of them for a while, and we're lucky to have them.
No merchant bankers in there, then?
No merchant bankers in our crew. We're probably, I think the most common theme, and if there is one, would just be there's more than one in education. But other than that, all different backgrounds.
Education is a big one at the moment, isn't it? Because I know that in Auckland there was a crisis meeting last week where this the collective teachers gathered with the mayor, whose problem, I mean, it's not really a city council issue, it's a central government issue. They're saying, oh my God, hang on, we are in a serious, serious crisis right now with teachers. We are only 64%. Covering the students that need to be covered in Auckland, apparently. And what are we going to do about it? Help, help, help. And like I say, Phil Gough can't really do a lot about it from that position. Do you think the current government or they've done enough about it to are we on the way? Is someone doing something about something to do with it at all?
Well, and it's been, I mean, I remember this coming up even when we had the Mount Albert by-election at the beginning of the year. Every school I visited had lost teachers, predominantly to Tauranga. But even a couple of weeks ago, someone came in during, the campaign and said they'd lost, I think it was 9 teachers from one school, just because Auckland was too expensive for them. It's one of the most common things that I heard come up around education. But if we're having that education, you'll be sure that it's happening for other employers too. Our way of tackling it was to put money aside to try and incentivise teachers into staying in Auckland or coming into Auckland. But that's not a long-term fix. It's about addressing housing, because then that means that you're fixing it for your nurses and your police officers and everyone else as well.
And I think you and I talked about this a couple of months ago, about our, one of the largest schools in Auckland is actually... going out, sort of trying to lead the charge and going out and actually buying homes for teachers to live in.
I've heard of others looking at creating kind of, almost like, we've got the old nurses boarding situation that used to exist back in the day, and people have looked at doing that to teachers as well. It's getting pretty difficult, and so they're looking at every option. Other schools have been looking at ways they can incentivise teachers themselves with things like early childhood education being freely available. They're doing everything they can. Problem is that they're trying to pick up the pieces from a pretty major issue.
What are some of the things that, with the benefit of hindsight, now looking back, sort of, now you've got a week since the election, and as we still await the magical special votes. Come on, special votes. What are some of the things that you think, like across the board, were that should have been talked about during the election that perhaps got missed this time around, and being where you are now, you can that becomes a bit more apparent. What is anything there that stands out?
Relative to other campaigns, there was a lot more debate around issues. And you know, when you think about 2014, there was a lot of chat about Kim.com, for instance. And you know, when you look at this one, you know, we were really talking about ideas. And as much as I got frustrated that sometimes we were talking about things that weren't even real.
You mean lies and that?
Yeah, I mean lies and stuff. You know, at least by and large, we were talking about the environment more than we have in a long time. Mental health. And so I was pleased at least that was happening, much more than I can remember in campaigns in the past. So I actually thought that was quite positive. I could have done with fewer lies.
Fewer lies, what I mean. I mean, the thing is, though, it wasn't you that was lying.
No,
but I guess that's a thing that you can go to bed without having to look up at your Catholic God and say that I was lying, you know?
Well, the frustrating thing is, though, that even though when you know it's a lie, you sit there and think, oh, you know, the truth will prevail. In politics, not necessarily.
No, it's politics, yeah.
Yeah, I think that 30% of people walked away from that election believing what was said to be true. And that wasn't their fault. You know, you hear a snippet of something, it plays into a perception you already have, then you grab it as truth. So that's frustrating, but that's politics.
Like we said just before the election, that's Crosby Texter ads, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we know that the way that the brain works is if you hear something that contradicts what you believe, then you ignore it. And if you hear something that plays into it, you take it on. And that's politics. But I really would like to be able to think that we can stay away from that kind of negative campaigning. But when you see that it works, it is pretty frustrating.
There's talk today. I know that you probably, I can't expect much of a comment on this, but the talk that the former Prime Minister Jim, Mr. Credibility Bulger, is saying
on the Greens.
Yeah, but Jim Bulger, who I don't know if you remember BFM back in the day, he was booked into an interview with me the day before he did his the election, and he never showed up. And so I said, no show, no vote, and guess what? He lost. Boom. not saying it has anything to do with me. I'm just saying, you know, people remember. Wow. But he's saying that the Greens are pathetic by not entertaining the option of forming a coalition with the National Party at the moment.
Which, you know, I think is harsh and wrong. Would he say that National are pathetic for not forming a coalition with Labour? No, because he sees a massive ideological difference between the parties. So what's the difference? You know, I just think that it's up to each individual party to decide, you know, what their values best. I think it's wrong to call a party pathetic for sticking to those or for holding some views on who they're best to form a coalition with. It's judgy.
So you've had a week off the intensity of the those short months leading up to the election. Just sit around now and just sort of just in your dressing gown and just wait for Winston to call, or are you out and about?
No. Last week I was in Parliament for 7 days.
Oh, just to really wind yourself up a bit more about it. Hey.
Just setting everything in place. And this week I'm in my Mount Albert office today. I'll be back down to Wellington tomorrow, Tuesday. Just getting everything ready for talks, really. So those special votes come in on Saturday. And we'll be making sure that we're ready for negotiations as soon as those come in.
Very quickly, Jacinda, is there anything that people have done, you know, there's people that enrolled and all that sort of stuff, for those special votes, is there anything they need to do at this stage? For, you know, if you've enrolled, is everything done and done, your vote's in and it counts, yeah?
Yep, and that's what's taking time, is that if you enrolled on the day, then they need to, or the day before, or any time before the election, they need to go through a bit of a process to double-check that you're legitimate and you voted once. So that's what we're waiting for now.
All right, well, I look forward to talking to you this time again next week. Jacinda Ardern, and who knows what will happen, eh? Ooh! Thank you.
That was What's Up with Jacinda Ardern.
connection was a bit muffled there, folks. Sorry about that. It's only 2017. God, what do you expect? Text come in. BFM sucks this morning. More chill, less intensity. It's Monday morning.
That number, I think the last text they texted in called the host a dickbag, so
yeah,
sorry mate,
they must be home by themselves though, which is sad, isn't it? School holidays by yourself. You were driven, eyes on the prize,
a yoga routine, home exercise.
BFM Breakfast with Havoc. Oh, sorry. BFM Breakfast with Mikey. headlines.
Atamadea, good morning. Coming up in the news at 9, Phil Goff calls for an investigation into an Auckland Council executive's $400,000 severance payment. More high-profile political figures come out in support of a national green coalition. Authorities in Vanuatu struggle to provide housing for 11,000 evacuees. And Trump undermines negotiations with North Korea, saying Rex Tillerson is wasting his time. These stories
Oh my God, man! Jesus!
You grab it. A long-time listener and friend of the show, Mark, was just asking that we should talk to Phil Goff about that sort of thing. So you've got it coming up in the news, even.
Covering it, all over it, already.
What we've got there is a mayor who is following up a $400,000 payout, saying, what's the deal with that?
It was a golden handshake, yeah?
Yeah, they reckon they followed all the due process and all that sort of thing, but it looks like there's about a million altogether in kind of... was the biggest one.
Yeah, that's over all the payouts, all the severance or redundancy, maybe not redundancy, but severance payouts in the last year, something like that, or last term, is it?
That's pretty high.
I get it. It's pretty high. I know. It's not. I mean, it's not $8.2 million pay packet, golden handshake, or extra bonuses that old Fonterra got. But what about the guy from Monsanto? I don't know if you know Monsanto, but they're Satans. They do Satan's work. And they
know.
I don't know
if you've met Mikey, but he's going to talk to you about Monsanto now.
The guy got fired. He got fired and got paid $30.2 million.
Do you think it's because he knows where the bodies are buried, though? Do you think that's why?
Because he basically has been bending over and taking it for the Monsanto Corporation, you know, going. It's like, you know, doing PR for a pharmaceutical company or something like that. You really, your family won't talk to you. You go to Christmas and people. Just you'd be like the black sheep. You'd be on the deck like a smoker in those old ads, you know. You're a born non-smoker. You knew you had it in you. Outside the ranch, loaded by yourself in the rain. Everyone else inside, social on the patches of the gum, you know.
The smoking having a great time. Room at the airport.
The smoking room at the airport. What a humiliator! Oh. Like a little tank for the smokers to stand in.
Under the stairs as well.
Yeah, under the stuff. Oh, I haven't got any room. What about under the escalator, in the armpit of the escalator?
Yeah.
You can smoke. If you must, smoke your cigarette as soon as you get off the plane. You're a born non-smoker. You knew you had it inside of you. Just saying. Something to think about, isn't it, Sarah? Did you want to sing it? No. Honestly, I'm going to be outside of it. Oh, the mic's on. Shit. 95 BFM at 20 to 9 on a Monday morning. Are you attending to all your chores? What about your to-do list? What are your priorities this morning, folks? Sarah, what are your priorities this morning? Making music come out of the machine?
Get someone in the draw to win some headphones?
Yeah, to do that though, to go in the draw to win a pair of Skull Candy wireless super duper bass headphones. Actually, the type of bass is called dual channel haptic bass, just so you know. Dual channel haptic bass headphones. You'll need to tell me what the actual brand, the model of these particular Skull Candy headphones is called. I'll give you a clue, and the clue is Judith Goat Licking Piss Off a Thistle Collins.
Aww.
Saying, you know, just give us a smile.
Get on the haptics.
You've got such a lovely smile, Judith. Give us a smile.
It's got a good eyebrow.
Hell
I think it's painted on, but it's like...
That's hell! Got the poor woman!
But she's got a good cocked eyebrow. I think that's really important when you, you know...
Do you know, here's what I've learned about Judith Collins. When Judith Collins is under attack, she talks like this when she answers questions.
It's,
have you noticed that?
It's
she
really talks, strong game.
She talks like she's someone's mother or...
she doesn't raise her voice.
Well, Sarah can say what she wants about my husband's company digging up swamp carry. I think the whole thing's... And she just goes...
The last time she was
That's a nasty trick.
The last time she was on Backbenches.
Ooh, yuck.
Which has had its last show, I think. Hey,
a round of applause for Backbenches,
somebody
too.
Bring Backbenches back. Lovely BFM
alum. Yeah, less signs, though, in the background.
Yeah, that was
things.
Quite...
That's the shittest part about that show.
But the last time she was on Backbenches, just when things weren't going her way, just icy glare. She could wither a lot with her gaze. It's a very strong game.
Someone sent a text here saying, oh, remember David Seymour?
Oh.
Yeah. Go, bro. Good on him, eh? He's in Parliament, though, you say, Sarah.
He organised a kind of pub crawl with his supporters, and it kind of the Facebook event got taken over by maybe not so supporters, and I think my favourite quote on it was, let's sink some piss, dolphin man.
Ah,